Okay, let's talk about the Stiles family coming to Oklahoma. We talk about George W. Stiles Sr., who I understand was native of New Jersey.
Yes, that's correct.
Was born October 26, 1852, and his wife was Alice M. Merritt.
Right.
April 22nd of 1857. So what would he be to you?
Great-grandfather.
What stories have you heard about him, and can you start to tell us the story then as it was his idea then, I guess, to come to Oklahoma? Maybe you two can help me with that.
Well, he also had a brother named Stephen, and between the two of them and probably some others, they decided that they wanted to leave New Jersey and come to Oklahoma.
Some friends of theirs had already come, and that's what inspired them, I believe, to come.
And we should point out that the Oklahoma country was open to settlement on our major land run of this state, which, of course, was April 22nd, 1889, known as Land Run Day. And that's when 50,000 people lined up to stake claim. So then the word was out to these people that they have land runs in Oklahoma and they're going to have another one. And so do you know the story about how they then actually brought a team of horses and all that and headed out for Oklahoma with his brother Stephen? Are there any stories that you know of that?
Well, there was a lot of things that happened on the way with them, just like it did many of the other people, the settlers that come from back in the east. They had wagon fires, they got stuck in the mud, and et cetera, et cetera. And they had trouble with thunderstorms, rainstorms, which made a lot more mud, caused them a lot of problems that way.
And swollen creeks. The Stillwater Creek was the one that they crossed and great-grandma fell out?
Actually, according to our great-uncle's writings, they encountered a large ravine somewhere on the trip. It was down here close. It was up by Stillwater Creek somewhere. It had a big ditch in the bottom of it, and in order to get across the ditch, he laid a bunch of, it would be like planks or logs or something like that, and he laid them in the bottom so that the wagon could actually get across this ditch. And she had the lines of the mules. They had a team of mules, and she had the lines of the mules and was sitting up on the seat of the wagon with her feet up on the dashboard. And when he was prepared to cross the ravine or the ditch, he led the mules down there, and she had a hold of the reins. And when they actually hit the logs in the bottom of the ravine, it was quite a bump. So she went out over the wagon and was passed over by the right front wheel. And later on, she told him that she evidently had the presence of mind to roll to keep the back wheel from hitting her. And then several days later, she became quite ill. I think he refers to it as deathly ill. But anyway, that's when she lost a child.
And she, again, is?
Our great-grandmother.
Who was the wife? You're talking about Alice. Alice Merritt.
Right. Which lived to be 99, and we both knew her, and she used to sit and tell my youngest uncle, which is 4 months older than I am, a lot of stories about the early days, and would sing songs to us and things like that.
But she was a large woman, much larger than great-grandpa, and she would sit on the swing down at our grandmother's house, the place that they settled on, and even though she was blind, she could shell peas, and she knew when they were bad, she knew which ones were good, and she could sit there all day shelling peas,
yeah.
Swinging in the swing.
Wow.
And singing.
Yeah.
The whole time.
How fortunate you were to be able to know her.
Yes.
Yeah, we obviously didn't think about it at the time because we were just kids, but later on it had more and more meaning.
And then you said your great uncle, which would have been George W. Stiles Jr.
That's correct.
Yes.
And he was born June 14th, 1877.
I think he was, what, about 13? 12 or 13 when they made the room.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he's actually the storyteller and has written the booklet that we have all seen.
Yes.
So we're seeing this through the eyes of this 14-year-old boy mm-hmm. at the time. They met then a couple who helped them out as they came in their journey here to Oklahoma. Let's talk about that.
Well, I believe the name was Mansfield. They become quite close to them, and I think they stayed with Mansfield somewhere over by Stillwater. Mm-hmm. And prior to the run, when they finally got down, they had a real problem crossing Black Bear Creek. That's mm-hmm. up south of Ponca City. He did mention that in his writings.
Right, and so it seems like the Mansfield was a camping ground, which would have been known as squatters' camp.
That's correct. Correct. A lot of those people that had gathered came early and gathered over there. They called it a squatters' camp. Over, if I see the map correctly, it's just south of Stillwater Creek, which runs in to the Cimarron, right over there. Just a little bit west of what's now Ripley, Oklahoma. So somewhere just to the northwest of Stillwater Creek was where the squatters' camp actually was, and that's where they stayed until the day of the run, which was September the 22nd, 1891.
Right. Well, then I understand George, when he established himself at the Mansfield place, he went back to Kansas. And then the next March, 1891, he loaded everything into this big canvas-covered wagon and whatever stories that you know about that. And then they had the team of mares hitched to a spring wagon while George Jr. brought up the rear with the livestock.
Correct.
And so that's how they then were getting themselves in place for the big run. Then they actually lived there in that squatters' camp for some time, I believe, didn't they?
That's the way I understand it. And they had all their big wagon and all their belongings. Had to have been a pretty good size. I imagine most folks would refer to it as a covered wagon because right. I think it did have a covering for it. And then they also had loose livestock, which our Uncle George was in charge of getting them to follow along or whatever, however he did it, to follow the wagon to get them down here.
They stayed there at that camp so that those who had horses could explore the Cimarron River and find the best place to cross, what they thought would be the safest for that time of the year, and when they would be opening up the south side of the Cimarron River, which was the Sac and Fox territory. But I believe they only had one horse, so anyone that wanted to go surveying had to go on foot, and a good many of them were on foot.
I think they helped the Mansfields. They helped build a dugout covered with earth while they were living there.
Yes.
But then you think about the elements and the mosquitoes and the snakes and the flies and all of that. Did you hear stories about how and then malaria that came from that?
Yeah, it's Uncle George mentions it in there, and some of the people that lost their lives, and they lost several head of livestock to different kinds of things. I don't remember the specific names he used in there as far as what caused the livestock to die, but it was very trying.